Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Jim Irizarry in for Sean Steyers this afternoon. We'll hear from Sean tomorrow. He is on the road with the women's basketball team. Doesn't mean that we can't talk with our good friend, the lovely and talented Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com, though.
You know, I'm feeling like Sean's always on the road whenever it's my day to be on. I'm trying to take this personally a little bit, you know? Just saying.
I see the conspiracy as well. I totally see it. I'm right there with you.
Look at you stoking the fire. I love it. I love it.
Some news, as expected. Georgia's JT Daniels, not going to be Georgia's JT Daniels anymore. He's going to be entering the transfer portal. Basically, you know, no assurance that he would ever regain the starting job. And who's going to take it from Stetson Bennett at this point? You know,
it's just if you'd have told me that 3 months ago, I'm like, get it, dude, I'm not coming on your show anymore. You don't know a thing. You don't know what you're talking about. This is insane. This isn't a serious talk show. That is just insane.
What is this comedy hour here?
This guy does. How did he get this job? Five-star JT Daniels can't beat out Stetson Bennett walk-on. I mean, it just... I love college football so much.
Yeah, he might be able to get like the grad transfer exemption too,
mm-hmm. Right?
But you know, since he's already done this, you know, he wouldn't be able to play immediately. So it's just like, oh boy.
And I believe he is a graduate now. I believe he is.
I think he's supposed to graduate in May at least. So
So he would be able to. He'd be able to most likely go and play immediately. But what a strange career. He's one of the best high school quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, had a good freshman year at USC and then just made the decision to leave. And, you know, this is the danger when you transfer, right? I mean, a school like Georgia's trying to win a title, and JT hasn't been able to stay healthy. You know, he hasn't been able to really be the player that he is. Because I think Georgia was just a bad fit.
Yeah.
I thought that was a mistake when he went there. And that's the risk you run. Like, it's like when Malik Zaire picked Florida. I felt Malik Zaire had good football left. I just thought he made a bad choice for the school he went and played for, and that happens. That's the danger of transferring, is you may think you're going to a better situation, but in reality, you're not. And, you know, you don't have it. There's no do-overs after that, because now you got to sit out a year.
Yeah, I remember, you know, seeing Malik Zaire make that decision. I was like, no!
Yeah.
What did he do? No!
Like, if it would have been, like, Dan Mullen's Florida, maybe. But, like, Jim McElwain's pro-style Florida, it just made no sense.
Yeah, I was...
Same as Brandon Wimbush going to UCF. That was another one. I was like, oh, no, Brandon, that is not where you want to be. But, you know, it's not my decision.
Right, right. Maybe there was some scenery there that he liked.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. I mean,
it's Orlando. Orlando's a cool place.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, IrishBreakdown.com, that is where you can find Brian Driscoll. All sorts of coaching moves going on right now with Notre Dame. Lance Taylor, the running backs coach, he's off to Louisville to be their next offensive coordinator. Of course, he was big in Kyron Williams' development. Who are some of the names that could slide into that role?
You know, it's been really interesting. There haven't been as many like, oh, yeah, this guy's definitely involved as we've seen like from other positions where like we kind of had an idea. One of the names that I've heard is Gary Brown, who is the running backs coach of Wisconsin. He's been there for a year. He was with the Dallas Cowboys, I believe, before that. He actually coached with John McNulty at Rutgers.
Okay.
There's that connection. And as we saw with Chancey Stuckey, that apparently that connection with John McNulty means a lot to Tommy Rees, and this is going to ultimately be Tommy Rees's decision. So that's obviously a name I have heard. The running backs coach at Northwestern, whose name I am not going to try to pronounce because I honestly don't know how to pronounce it and feel it would be disrespectful for me to try to say it.
Sure.
Is another name that I've heard a lot of. So he's someone who Tommy Rees, I believe, knows, has some sort of relationship, played at Northwestern, and is, you know, I think he's a good coach. I guess I would say my issue with some of the names I am hearing is a lot of them are quality coaches, but none of them are really dynamic recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's more important for a running backs coach, which is the only position in football I ever say that about.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, Mr. Technique, right? Like
a
running back, as someone who coached an All-American running back, I can assure you it's the easiest position in football to coach.
Right.
With all due respect to running backs coaches, this is not, it's not a knock on them, because like Lance Taylor was great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I'd rather have a guy that can recruit great players and be a good coach than a guy who's a great coach and a good recruiter. Because running back is one of those positions where at the end of the day, it's more about the blockers and his talent than it is about the technique and those type of things. And so that's the interesting aspect of this search, is there's some really quality running back coaches that I've heard, as none of them are real dynamic recruiters. And that's a concern for me in at this point in time.
I remember Gary Brown as a player.
Yeah, for the Oilers. Yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah.
He was a good player.
And then he was also the All or Nothing season on Amazon.
Okay.
With the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
He was, you know, obviously, you know, they're following Zeke around a lot, so you see Gary Brown a whole bunch in that. So.
And he was the position coach there for 7 years.
Yeah.
During that period of time. He was also at the Cleveland Browns for 4 years. Before that, he was obviously at Rutgers for a season with John McNulty.
All right. There you go. Meantime, on the defensive side, Ohio State's Al Washington looking to be Notre Dame's next defensive line coach, replacing Mike Elston, who's off to Michigan. Reading your story about it earlier today, probably safe to say that you're excited about that move?
Yeah, so for me personally, I don't know a lot about Al Washington from my own experience. I haven't broken down the film of Ohio State's linebackers and going back to the 2016 BC defensive line and studying the technique and things along. I haven't done that yet. What I've done is, number one, I've looked at the production and the statistics that he's had at Ohio State and at Wisconsin and Boston College. And at Boston College, for example, in 2016, he coached Harold Landry and Zach Allen, who were a second and third round pick.
Hmm.
He's had three linebackers in he's only had two drafts where players he coached at Ohio State were the draft. You had that draft. You haven't had this third draft yet. And in those 2 years, he had three linebackers taken in either the second or the third round. So he's clearly producing, you know, high-level NFL draft picks, and I would argue the guys that he's produced haven't necessarily been to the caliber of some of the guys that Notre Dame has produced at linebacker in recent seasons. And talk to parents of some recruits that he recruited, and great reputation as a coach. I've talked to friends of mine in the coaching business who are more familiar with him. They rave about him as a coach, rave about him as a recruiter. And one of the big things that has been a common theme from all the sources that I've talked to is he's really big into toughness and developing relationships with his players. And I think that's a thing that we may not talk a lot about, but needs to be addressed, because the manner in which Mike Elston went about making that relationship a part of the dynamic of the coach-player relationship, if you don't have someone that values that as well, it's going to be a really big culture shock that won't go well for Notre Dame. And I think it was important to get someone that values that, developing these young men in holistically, not just as football players. And every person that I talk to, from a parent level of former players and coaches and recruits, and to also people that know him professionally, everybody said the same thing. That was the one constant theme, is he cares about developing relationships and cares about the holistic aspects of being a coach. And more than anything, that was a really important thing for me to hear.
Yeah, that's probably like one B as far as qualities that you look for in a coach nowadays that I've noticed. You know, it's like you got to connect because just, you know, being one of these old school guys, you know, if you've ever seen the 30 for 30 with about Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking about the coach that's, you know, just yelling about blood on the saddle and all that stuff. You can't be that guy anymore.
Right.
You know, it just does not connect.
You can't only be that guy anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the big thing in this era of, you know, kids leaving whenever their feelings are hurt or they're not playing or whatever else, because there's no consequences to transferring, which is still just an appalling, stupid rule. But that's the reality we're in, right?
Right.
Players are more likely to stay if they believe that you have their best interests at heart. And you can be a hard coach and in their face and all that kind of stuff, but they've got to believe that you care about them beyond just what they can do for you as a player. That's so important. And I think that's who Marcus Freeman is. And I think that hiring coaches are that way. I've heard similar things about Chancey Stuckey in his limited time as a position coach, is, you know, strong man of faith, like someone who's going to be a great coach, but also someone who understands the importance of developing that relationship with players. So I think you need to have that, and you can be harder on kids if you have that. Mike Elson was very demanding of his players, very demanding. He wasn't like a, when a guy made a mistake, he walked up, it's okay, I still love you, and hug him on practice. No, that was not Mike Elston. Right. But they were willing to accept that and embrace that because they knew it from his other actions and the relationship with his wife and his kids and all that, that it mattered. And from what I'm hearing about Al Washington is he's exactly the same way. That's going to be important. But also the other thing is he's been mostly a linebacker's coach, but the people I've talked to said he was that because he's an Ohio guy. His dad played at Ohio State. There was thought that he would kind of eventually replace Larry Johnson as the D-line coach at Ohio State. This is the position he's more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I can attest to that because I was always – I mean, I coached receivers most of my career, but I was more of a quarterback guy that always had my eye on eventually getting back to that position. And it sounds like that's really one of the attractive things for Al Washington is he wanted to get back to the position he feels is his best spot, and that's the defensive line.
Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com, lovely and talented as he is, joining us here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. I saw this tweet from you today, and it made me chuckle a little bit. Notre Dame is at IMG today pulling an Oprah. You get an offer. You get an offer. You get an offer. I absolutely love it, and you don't go after IMG kids unless you're willing to battle everyone. So who is Notre Dame fighting for?
Well, the two kids they offered today, number one is a linebacker who's originally from Virginia, but obviously he's at IMG now, and that's his name is Jordan Hall. He's a 2023 linebacker, very, very talented player. They also offered a 2024 running back named Stacy Gage, who's a very talented young player, which is just insane. They're offering freshmen and sophomores now. It's just, it's absolutely nuts. But what I mean by that is Notre Dame has really been unwilling to basically battle at IMG because kids at IMG are, they're the best of the best. I mean, Bama wants them, Ohio State wants them, USC wants them, Oklahoma Tech, everybody wants them. And Notre Dame just hasn't been willing to get into those battles. You know, they're more looking for the under the radar guy that we can beat Virginia for. Right. Well, Marcus Freeman's like, forget that. We're Notre Dame. We're going after the best of the best. Well, he was on that. He was on campus recently. He's the coaches are on the road. One of the places Coach Freeman stopped at was IMG to kind of announce that, look, we're coming for your kids. Like, we want your kids. We want the best of the best. And IMG is where you find a lot of those guys. Yeah. And I think it's signal, you know, it's being funny with the, you know, the you get an offer thing. But the point is you can find there's seven or eight Notre Dame caliber kids at IMG every year.
Yeah.
But you got to be willing to battle for them.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame just hasn't been willing to do that enough. The guys they've gotten, I mean, Tony Jones Jr. was from IMG. Robert Hainsey was from IMG. Houston Griffith is from IMG. So they've had some success getting some of those guys. They just they've cherry picked the guys that are easier to get. They haven't battled for the best guys. And, you know, you add those two guys on top of a guy like Cardinal Tate, who's already been offered from IMG, a guy that they want who's one of their top receiver targets. So I love the fact that they're battling for so many of these elite players. They offered another linebacker today from Tampa who's a top 40 player. Well, the odds of them getting that kid are – it's Todd Bowles' son, the defensive coordinator for the Buccaneers. It's his son, who's excellent 2023 linebacker. But if you don't battle for him, you're guaranteed not to get him.
Yeah.
And you just need two or three of those guys a year is all that they're missing on. That's really it, just two or three guys a year. And if you don't battle for him, you're not going to get him. And Marcus Freeman's, you know, statement that he's making to, for himself but also to his staff is, these are the guys we got to fight for. If we want to win a championship, we got to fight for and start landing these guys. And he's leading by example by him being the first coach that was on campus at IMG from the Notre Dame staff and making sure that their people knew that, hey, I'm here for a reason. We want your kids. We want to develop a pipeline. And, you know, if they could get that started and get a kid or two a year from IMG, that's going to be huge.
Is it like the same kind of level of fight that you'd have to put forth, you know, with a – you know, as you would with a guy like a Malik Muhammad, with a Sullivan Abshire, who's
absolutely, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's like Malik Muhammad, like that's not a typical Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
Right. And what I mean by that, he's a Dallas public school kid. But he's a very good student, but that's just the kind of guy, he's got offers from everybody.
Yeah.
That's just like, he's a top 50 caliber recruit. That's just the kind of guy the staff in the past said, yeah, the odds are we're not getting that guy. Well, the odds are still going to be hard for Notre Dame to get him.
Sure.
But they're battling for him, you know, and that's the important thing is you got to fight for these kids. If you'd have told me 6 months ago that they're going to get Peyton Bowen, who's a top 50 national recruit from Denton Geyer in Texas, you'd have probably said, nah, they don't get Texas kids like that. Well, you just went and got one because you battled for this kid. You fought for him. And Malik Muhammad's that kind of kid, too. If you want to be a national championship program, you can't be constantly beating Purdue and Michigan State and Penn State for kids. You've got to start beating Bama for kids. You've got to start beating Ohio State for kids. Not all of them, but just one or two to three kids a year that you're not getting now is the difference. And if you can start winning a couple of those battles a year, that's how you close that gap, and that's how you finally get it done. You know, if you Deshaun Watson was that kind of player for Clemson. Trevor Lawrence was that kind of player. You trade quarterbacks for Notre Dame and Clemson in 2018, and we're talking about a different national champion. You put Lamar Jackson alone, just Lamar Jackson on the quarterback of the 2017 team, I think that Notre Dame team wins a championship. So Notre Dame has been close, but they've always been like a player here, a player there away. IMG, Dallas, Atlanta, those are the places where you're going to find those players. And Notre Dame has to start fighting for them and eventually landing them. And that's one of the things Marcus Freeman has said, we're going to do it, Notre Dame. And if he can get that done, boy. And he did it at linebacker this year. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
You know, they got their best linebacker class in decades coming in. It's not a coincidence it's happened when Marcus Freeman arrived, because two of the three kids that they signed at linebacker didn't even have offers when he arrived. They weren't even offered scholarships by the previous staff. That's how little thought they put into, do we have a chance to land Jalen Snead? Can we land Junior Tuilamaka? The previous coaching staff didn't even offer those guys. Marcus Freeman comes in January, offers them, and got them pretty quickly, you know, when you look at it, and was able to get them both by the summer. So that's what you got to do, and so far he's done it, and he's just got to keep doing it.
And just making that effort and being able to get a couple of those guys, that can help later, too. That can help increase your odds of getting more of those guys.
Football's a unique sport in that great players want to play with other great players. One basketball player, and LeBron James showed this with the Cleveland Cavaliers, one basketball player can completely change the makeup of a basketball team. I had a five-star parent ask me one time, why doesn't my son, who's a five-star football player, get the love that five-star basketball players said? And I said, because if that five-star basketball player were to go to Oregon State, Oregon State's an NCAA tournament team next year. If your son goes to Oregon State, Oregon State's still going to suck. At the time, they were pretty bad. You know, and it's because one football player doesn't change it, and football players know that. If I'm a great receiver, I'm not going to go somewhere if they don't have a great quarterback. And so those are the type of things that great players want to play with other great players. And football players, by and large, aren't afraid of competition, which is why Bama has the number one or two, three class every year. These kids know they got to battle with other five stars to play at Bama, but they're willing to do it because they know what is there for them. Championships, first round draft picks, things along those lines. Notre Dame has to prove that they can be that program too. And you start getting some of those kids like, oh, wow, they're getting this kid. They got Jalen Snead. They got Peyton Bowen. They got Keon Keeley. Wow. Like, those are dogs. Those are great players. I want to play with that guy. And, you know, if you're a cornerback, you want to play with Keon Keeley, who's, the, in my opinion, the best defensive end in the country. He's a top 10 overall player, according to On3 Sports. I think he's an elite player. If you're a corner, I want to play on a team that's got that guy rushing the quarterback and Brandon Vernon rushing the quarterback and Jalen Snead rushing the quarterback. That stuff matters in football. So, yeah, you start getting one or two of them, and all of a sudden that opens up the door for the next guy and the next guy, and that's how you build yourself into a championship program.
And one last thing. Because kickers and punters are players too. Irish rolling into next year with a couple of grad transfers at each the kicker and the punter spots. Tell me about them.
Yeah, so Blake Groupie, that's literally his last name is Groupie, is the kicker from Arkansas State. He finished his career at Arkansas State as their all-time leading scorer, which is obviously impressive. He's not a real powerful leg kid, but very accurate. He's been over 80% field goals in two of the last 3 years. Was a team captain for Arkansas State, which you don't find a whole lot with place kickers. I thought that was an impressive thing. And then the punter they got yesterday from Harvard, he is a preferred walk-on. So Blake Groupie will be on scholarship. The punter from Harvard is going to be and I don't know how to pronounce his name. I don't know how to pronounce his name. J-O-N-S-O-T. That's his name. I don't know how to say that.
John Sott.
The first part, John, I can get. I don't know how to pronounce the last part.
I want to say Sott, but that sounds almost like insulting.
I mean, if I'm sounding it out like I'm in, you know, grade school, Sott.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't want to disrespect him if that's not correct.
Right.
So I'm just going to say the punter from Harvard. How about that?
That works.
Being very unprofessional today, Jim, not learning proper pronunciations, but he's a preferred walk-on, and I think he gives them a little bit of protection in case the freshman they signed, Bryce McPherson's not ready. The other interesting thing about the place kicker is he's only kicked off about 15 times his entire career, kicker only, which means you could see three specialists next year. You could see a punter, a place kicker, and a kickoff guy, which we haven't seen since Jonathan Doerr's freshman year when he handled kickoffs, and then Justin Yoon handled place kicking and I can't remember who the punter was at the time, but they had another Tyler Newsome was the punter. So we haven't seen that in a few years, and I think there's a good chance we may see that next year under first-year special teams coach Brian Mason, who we haven't talked a lot about, but that was a great hire by Marcus Freeman that we just because it's special teams, right? Like who wants to talk about special teams?
Right.
Great hire because he can coach a position. He's coached linebackers before, and he's a really strong recruiter. So I thought that was an excellent hire by Marcus Freeman that's not getting a whole lot of attention.
I mean, there's a lot of just looking at the NFL even in those coaching ranks. You know, John Harbaugh, said as much success as he can as a coach, special teams coordinator.
Well, we tend to only talk about special teams when it screws up,
right?
So you want to hire a guy that maybe doesn't hear his name called a lot. But, you know, I think I like special teams coaches that can actually coach a position, which Brian Polian did not. He was just a special teams guy. The thing I like about Brian Mason is he's coached Rovers and linebackers and some other positions during his career. He's a football coach who happens to specialize in that area of special teams, but he can help you out in other areas. But because of that, he can also help you recruiting. And I've heard he's got a very strong reputation as a recruiter, but it's not a sexy hire because it's a special teams coach. But I think it was a good hire. Cincinnati had excellent special teams this year. I mean, heck, it was a forced fumble against Notre Dame that broke that game open. If they don't force that fumble of Chris Tyree and score right afterwards, you know, maybe that game might be a little bit different. It might turn out a little bit differently. So excellent, excellent special teams coach from what I've been able to gather and find out.
All right. The lovely and talented Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com is the site. What you got up there?
Well, we've got a ton of recruiting stuff, not only from kids that have been offered, but also, just trying to learn more about kids. And I have an article out now that I put out about 5 o'clock where everybody's talking about they need to get a grad transfer receiver. And I'm making the case that there's receiver help out there for Notre Dame to get, but it's already on the roster. And he's playing safety, and his name is Xavier Watts. You want to get another receiver, go recruit him to come back to offense. And then also there's a D-line lineman that's been banged up the last couple of years that I think now that he's healthy has a chance to be a big-time breakout player. So I explain that one as well in my midweek musings article, which I put out every Wednesday.
All right. IrishBreakdown.com. That's the place you got to go. The lovely and talented Brian Driscoll. His work is all over the place. Videos, articles, all that stuff. And of course, being able to carve out a small chunk of time for us here.
Always make time for you guys.
Always appreciate it, too. Good job, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Coming up, my 5 question of the day. There's 5 games out there tonight that are just printing out free money. And you'd be dumb not to try and get in on some of that, quite honestly. I'll have those for you coming up next. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.